1, 2, 3, 4, 5
on the floor.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily show on the Miami Heat and the NBA featuring Ethan Skolnick with Alphonse Sidney, Alex Toledo, and Greg Sylvander. Part of the Five Reasons Sports Network.
Welcome in to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast app, or you can find us on Dash Radio every weekday, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Pacific. That's the Nothing But Net channel on the Dash Radio app. Also, you can check out my show every day at that same time that covers more than just the Miami Heat on OnsideRadio.com, or go to FiveReasonsSports.com, spell it out, FiveReasonsSports.com, for all the latest, again, not just on the Heat, but also the Dolphins, Inter-Miami CF, which just ended its season, the Panthers, the Hurricanes, the Marlins, and more. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. You know, we got Thanksgiving coming up. It's about traditions like turducken with mashed potatoes and betting on football with MyBookie's Turkey Day Free Play. MyBookie's third annual Turkey Day Free Play returns Thanksgiving Thursday. It's your chance to bet up to $250 risk-free on the early Thanksgiving Day game. That's right. The Turkey Day Free Play is a no-risk, all-gravy wager on the full game spread. Pick the right team and you win. If your team is upset, your bet up to $250 is refunded before the next afternoon game. New players will get their first deposit matched halfway up to $1,000 to help add even more excitement to the greatest football weekend of the year. So make your first deposit and get extra cash that you can use on parlays, teasers, and props all weekend long. Use the promo code Five on the Floor, spell it out, F-I-V-E, on the floor in order to claim your bonus and your free bet. And the best part is it's only the beginning. MyBookie has promotions all holiday weekend long. Turkey Day Free Play is Thanksgiving Thursday. That rolls into Black Friday boosted odds and finishes the holiday strong with buy one, get one free Cyber Monday Night Football. That's why at MyBookie, they call football season winning season. Check it out now. No risk, all gravy. Don't forget to use the promo code Five on the Floor to claim your freebies. And again, that's mybookie.ag, the code Five on the Floor. And now, today's episode. All right, Ethan Skolnick back on Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. We are not doing what we did last night. Last night, we did a 4.5-hour stream. We appreciate everybody who checked it out. We had as many as 2,500 people watching at a time. We had more than 25,000 views as we watched what the Heat were going to do on the first night of free agency. Now, today I've just got Greg Sylvander. It's just me and him with you for the next 20 minutes or so. And we're going to go through what happened in day two. And in a lot of ways, day two was more interesting than day one. So let me go through some of the specifics or some of the generalities here, and then we'll get into some more of the specifics. Of course, day one, Goran Dragic re-signed, Myers Leonard re-signed. There was nothing on Jay Crowder. There was nothing with any other Heat players. Day two, signing in the morning it was mid-morning of Maurice Harkless, Mo Harkless, a swing man who can play up to the four spot. And then later in the day, Avery Bradley signs, a guard Heat fans are very familiar with. Used to guard Dwayne Wade when he was with the Boston Celtics. Of course, he was with the Los Angeles Lakers last year. They did not compete in the bubble. He had a family issue he attended to, so he did not participate with them. But he was an important player for them during the season after they picked him up. And then Jay Crowder goes to the Phoenix Suns, leaves the Miami Heat. So those are the three major moves as we're going forward. Greg, let's start here. Where do the Heat stand now from a roster perspective, from a cap perspective, from a tax perspective? And then we'll get into some of the specifics on why they made the moves they made.
Yeah. So with the deals that they agreed upon, Mo Harkless got 1 year, $3.6 million, and Danny Green got a 2 year deal. See, it's almost like you don't want to report the 2 years because it's kind of a little bit deceiving because, you know, a 2 year, $11.6 million deal, but only year one.
Avery Bradley, not Danny.
Did I say Danny Green?
I think we got Danny Green on the mind from those Spurs days. So yeah, I know there's some PTSD there, but that's okay.
I'll, That's so funny because, you know, it's a situation where I'm probably tired from that stream that we did last night. But anyway, I'm going to push through the fatigue. So for those two guys, they've essentially arrived at a place where they are at 15 players. They're about $8 million below the tax line. And this is really interesting what Andy Ellisberg and company did, in that they've the two numbers, Mo Harkless at $3.6 million and Avery Bradley's year one salary, it equals exactly the non-taxpayer mid-level exception of $9.2-ish million. So they have a couple options. They can either split the mid-level between those two players, and then they still have their $3.6 million biannual exception available to them to spend. Or they can use a portion of the MLE on one of them and then use the biannual exception for Mo Harkless. Why this all is important is that the Heat currently stand at 15 players and they are $8 million below the tax line. So in theory, they could make another move and add to this roster. It would involve having to cut someone. But I think that where this could get particularly interesting is the trade market, which will be in subsequent episodes as we get down the line.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, after the break, we'll get into some of the possibilities there, because I know Heat fans are waiting on that to see if there's another shoe to drop. So we will touch on it. Let's touch on first, though, the three players that were involved today, the two they brought in and the one that left. Let's start with Mo Harkless. I think Heat fans remember this name in part because he was a Heat player briefly about a year and 4 months ago during the Jimmy Butler negotiations and the Jimmy Butler trade, where the Heat had Mo Harkless, but because of the way that the trade broke down, there were parts of the trade that broke down with Dallas because of this miscommunication about whether the Heat were sending Dragic, which is what they thought they were doing. Good thing that didn't happen. Or whether they're sending Derek Jones Jr. or Kelly Olynyk, which is what the Mavericks thought, because that broke down at the last minute. I mean, look, it's not just the Milwaukee Bucks this stuff happens to, although it seems to be happening to them a lot. Because of that, the Heat had to make a quick trade to make the whole deal work. And we know what some of the other parts of this deal were. Of course, Whiteside went out. Myers Leonard came in, but also a first round pick was sent to the Clippers. Mo Harkless was sent to the Clippers. Harkless didn't finish the season with the Clippers. He actually finished the season with the Knicks. But they've always liked him. I will tell you, Greg, the one surprise I had when I dug into him a little bit, I didn't realize he was only 27. I don't know why I felt he was older than that. I guess because I remember him playing at St. John's. And, you know, I actually grew up a St. John's fan. There haven't been a lot of good players coming out of St. John's in recent years. So he kind of stuck out to me. But I felt like he was older than that. He has bounced around. He's a career roughly 33% three-point shooter, although he shot 36% this past year. He doesn't shoot them at high volume. He's a defender who can guard anywhere from pretty much twos through fours. He could start at the four spot for the Heat. I don't know if he will. What are your thoughts? And he does feel in a lot of ways like a Heat player. He's a 3-and-D type player who hasn't been a great three player. He's a good D player, but I feel like they can get his shooting percentage as they did with Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder, when he came to Miami, was a 33% three-point shooter, and he shot in the 40s with Miami. I don't know that Harkless will do that, but I do think he can get his number up in closer to the high threes, the high 30s rather than the low 30s from three. What are your feelings about him as a player, and how does he fit?
I really like it from the standpoint of, you know, the Heat had the Whiteside for Myers Leonard Mo Harkless deal that was agreed upon whether the Jimmy thing was happening or not. So they had targeted him from the get-go because of the lot of things that you mentioned, you know, from a defensive perspective. But I like the fact that there's still, at his age, there are still things that he can do to become a better player. He has a great incentive to bring his best foot forward from a conditioning perspective. And we know that Miami transforms guys' bodies in ways that maximizes them in the same way that they maximize Jay. There's been guys like James Johnson that have been, you know, like kind of teetering around the league and bouncing around, and all of a sudden they have a stellar year. So I feel like this is a great opportunity for him. And, you know, there were reports, I believe it was Woj or Shams, one of the two, said that kind of what was promised was a prominent role, and that he took less to come for that prominent role. So I think he understands what's at stake for him on the free agent market in 2021. So we'll get the best version of Mo Harkless. So I'm in on that. I feel like that is the Jay Crowder replacement at the moment. I think that they're actually going to, this also opens up some things maybe for KZ Akpala to see some light of day. But ultimately, I think Harkless is the Jay Crowder replacement go forward.
Well, and remember, the other guy who's gone, and we haven't had a chance to talk about this on the pod, is Derek Jones Jr. And before we knew the verdict on Jay Crowder today, which we felt it was heading a certain direction, but we didn't know for sure, you know, we knew DJJ was gone. And in a lot of ways, Harkless replaces DJJ. I mean, he's a little older. Obviously, he's 5 years older than DJJ is. He's not the high flyer that he is. But from a defensive perspective, he'll fill some of that. He's a better three-point shooter, a little bit more versatile, a little bit more of a ball handler. So he'll replace some of the things that DJJ was doing and some things he'll do better than him. And he's doing them at a much cheaper price because DJJ got $9 million a year over a couple of years from Portland. So I feel like that trade-off works also. All right, now let's get to the next guy. Avery Bradley, again, Heat fans are very familiar with him. You know, I botched this when I first tweeted it today. He's not six or seven years younger than Wes Matthews, but he's 4 years younger. And in some ways, he's kind of what they were looking for from Wes Matthews. I know Tim Reynolds reported that Jimmy Butler reached out to him to kind of push him along to come here. Also, Pat Riley reached out yesterday. Avery Bradley, again, you know, Heat fans familiar with him from those Boston battles. You know, he's a give no quarter type of player defensively. I saw that there was a stat that was put up on Twitter that his 3-point percentage against, in other words, three other players shot a lower percentage from three against Avery Bradley than any other player in the league last year. We've talked a lot about getting a point of attack defender. He's that. He's still a serviceable 3-point shooter, although his numbers have gone down in the postseason. Traditionally, he's about 35-36% during the season, closer to 31 in the postseason. But he's a guy that the Lakers found to be really valuable during the season after they picked him up, and they were disappointed. And I joked about this on Twitter. Laker fans liked Avery Bradley so much that when Heat fans were complaining about losing Dragic and Bam in the finals, which is something to reasonably complain about, two of your three best players out for a good portion of that series, Laker fans kept bringing up the fact that they were without Avery Bradley. Now today they're saying it's no big deal. And of course they have since signed, you know, Wes Matthews and Dennis Schroeder and Montrezl Harrell. So they've had a pretty damn good offseason. They'll overcome the loss of Avery Bradley, but he's a valuable piece and they got him at a really, really good price without having to give him the second season. I mean, to me, this is a no-brainer type of deal.
Yeah, I love this move. It's funny. You mentioned when we were kind of unpacking the Mo Harkless signing that he's the DJJ replacement. And that was kind of how I was operating before this deal was announced, in that I thought that the other player that Miami was going to add, if it wasn't going to be Jay Crowder, would be Jay Crowder's replacement. And I wasn't thinking as much about guards. I was looking at the Paul Millsaps of the world, or who exactly it might be that Barry Jackson reported the Heat had kind of, they had a player in mind that they would pivot to quickly in the event that Jay Crowder went elsewhere. We've talked about point of attack defense to the point of exhaustion, and this it really, really helps that they're bringing in a player who maybe he's pretty average in a lot of ways overall, but the one thing that he does really, really well is the thing Miami needed most. Bringing that point of attack defense, I think he's going to also be a player who has a great incentive to be the best version of himself on a 1-year kind of prove it deal. We've seen Miami have success with guys like this, and he fits in perfectly. I think it's going to help in the ability for Goran Dragic to not necessarily have to be, relied upon heavily initially, so that they can kind of ease him back in. And when you hear that Jimmy's reaching out to him, you know that he's a player from a stylistic and the way he approaches the game that they like him. So Avery Bradley is a huge move, and when you know that you're losing Jay, or it starts to feel like it's going that way, I feel like it injected a degree of life back into the fan base on Twitter.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, one of the things we'll talk about in future episodes as things settle out is where these guys fit in the rotation, because there are a lot of different lineups that Spoelstra can use. I mean, Avery Bradley could be a starter for this team next. I think Goran Dragic is going to be the sixth man again. So I think he goes back to the bench for the regular season. So could it be an Avery Bradley, Tyler Hero backcourt? I think that's a possibility. I think that their skill sets are compatible. Then obviously you'd have Jimmy Butler at the three. Would you have, you know, I guess Jimmy and Duncan at the forwards with Bam at center? That would make you really small, but I think that's a lineup that we could see. I think another lineup we could see is Mo Harkless starting at the four in the Jay Crowder role next to Bam with Jimmy and with Duncan and with Hero. I think that's an option. And of course, I mean, Kendrick Nunn can factor into this too, if he's still here. And that's something we're going to talk about a little bit after the break, but I think there are a number of different directions they can go. But the thing about Avery Bradley is they know he's going to be ready. They know he's going to be professional. And like you said, they know exactly what it is that he's going to give them. And they're not paying an exorbitant price. It's basically, he's the type of guy who they might decide to keep after this season. Or they might move on from him. But I think for this particular year, he gives them a rock solid guard defender, and they just didn't have that. And, you know, if you're going to play Tyler Hero more minutes next year, if you're going to be leaning on Dragic again, then your other guard there has to be a defender. I mean, it's difficult for it to be Kendrick Nunn. You know, as much as I think Kendrick can really be valuable for this team still, again, if he's here, but you can't have Hero, Dragic, and Nunn soaking up all the guard minutes. It's too many minutes with guys who are at best passable defenders, and in some cases are not that. And so Avery Bradley, he just raises the bar for them defensively. And then Harkless replaces some of what Crowder gave them. I think the other thing is this gives them some flexibility. If they wanted to move Iguodala, they could by bringing in Harkless and Bradley. They've brought in a couple of guys who could replace some of the things that Iggy gives them. And if they need that contract to throw into a trade, that's a possibility. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about Jay Crowder, and we're going to talk about a couple of possibilities if the Heat do decide to make a trade. You know, unless you're a manual laborer, a high-level athlete, you're more likely to have back pain because you're not lifting enough weights, instead of what a lot of people think, which is that you're lifting too much weight. Many back injuries occur because of deconditioning or chronic sitting. One of the most effective ways to help heal and prevent back pain is by increasing core and back strength by lifting weights. If you want guidance on a weightlifting or core strengthening program, the folks over at Keystone Chiropractic can put together a plan for you through a free consultation. That's right, free. Mention Five Reasons, and a telehealth visit. Get more health tips like this and more by following our friend at Dr. Jonathan Chung or at Keystone Neuro on Twitter and Instagram. And again, it's Keystone Chiropractic. The website, though, is chiropractickeystone.com. He's up in Wellington, but he can see you anywhere in the state with telemedicine. And that's a great way to do things during COVID. So make sure you check him out, our friend Dr. Jonathan Chung at chiropractickeystone.com. All right, let's get to the Jay Crowder thing. Barry Jackson has reported, I didn't have the exact number, he did, $14 million the Heat offer him in that first year. So I want the Heat fans who are complaining that the Myers-Leonard contract precluded them from making a reasonable offer to Jay Crowder to stop. It had nothing to do with it, okay? There are other issues we can talk about with that. I know, Greg, you've had some concerns about the Myers contract. We talked about them on the stream. But and you've talked about a lot on Twitter, and Adam has addressed them, but it didn't have anything to do with what they offered Jay. They offered Jay $14 million. This simply came down to one thing. They never intended to go a second year with him beyond the first year, at least not to promise it. Maybe he would have gotten it, but he wasn't going to get it up front because the plan is intact. It's about 2021. It's about staying flexible. And we'll probably do a whole podcast on the Bucks troubles in the next couple of days. But with what's going on with the Bucks, losing out on Bogdanovich, bringing in Bobby Portis and DJ Augustine, which to me is pretty pedestrian. I think they've lost a lot on their bench. And then there's, you know, a bunch of stuff on Twitter. John Hollinger wrote a piece in The Athletic about the mistakes that the Bucks general manager John Horst has made, which are pretty embarrassing, actually. And that has put them in this position. So if you're the Heat, you want to stay flexible in case, because I don't think there's any guarantee Giannis is signing that extension in the middle of December. or by the middle of December. There's no indications that he's planning to. Bam hasn't signed his with the Heat yet. We've sort of said that would be a tell about what Giannis was going to do. So I think you got to stay flexible. I did not want them to give a second guaranteed year to Jay Crowder, even though I like Jay Crowder as a player, and I thought he was a very important piece for them getting in the finals. I was glad from the Heat's perspective that they stood their ground. And he ended up taking the 3 years guaranteed from Phoenix for about $30 million. And more power to him. That's a potential playoff team now, even in the difficult Western Conference. He'll fill a role for them. It's our old buddy James Jones is the GM. But, Greg, I didn't have a problem with them letting Jay Crowder walk rather than giving him the second guaranteed year.
No, I mean, to be fully transparent, I wanted to keep Jay Crowder going forward if they could figure out a way, not longer than the 1 year, obviously, because of the 2021 stuff. But I love Jay Crowder's game, and I think the Heat love Jay Crowder's game. I think in a perfect world, they would love to have him become sort of a lifer, to be honest. But it was a situation where he wanted that stability, and the Heat just couldn't, they couldn't offer it. And you know what? I'm glad that they didn't. I'm glad that we're heading into a season where, yeah, you know what? They didn't necessarily make this big free agent splash, or haven't yet, we'll just say, and we'll get to what comes next in a moment, but they haven't made the big splash, right? But they've retained everybody and they've maintained flexibility. They learned from the 2017 offseason. I think that it's important to recognize that they're sticking to their plan. Jay Crowder, a lot of the things that he did, I don't know that we really expected all that when he was acquired. So it was a lot of incremental value that he brought since he was acquired. And who's to say that a guy like Mo Harkless can't necessarily take a small leap like that. So thank you for the Milwaukee Bucks series in particular, Jay Crowder. I wish you the best in Phoenix, but it was the right move because the Heat proved today that the 2021 plan is intact. And, you know, you alluded to some of Milwaukee's falterings, particularly in the last couple of weeks. And it's almost like Andy can sit down in the Giannis meeting and just go over what transpired in Milwaukee and say, this is what I would have done here. This is what I would have done here, and show him the way that he operates, and that he would be sold immediately because there's just been some real botches there. So you have to track towards Giannis. Giannis has given no indication of a supermax, and the decks are clear for Miami to go in that direction now.
Yeah, you just need to get to the meeting. That's the thing, right? Like, and the question is, have you done enough here to keep your team moving in the right direction and stay flexible at the same time as the Bucks are making mistakes to show Giannis that this may be the better direction to go? And you talk about the other teams that were in the Giannis sweepstakes, so to speak. You know, Toronto went into its cap space a little bit. Okay. You know, we've looked at Dallas, but Miami didn't go into their cap space. And so they are positioned, and we've said repeatedly, and we talk about learning from mistakes, right? My big issue with the Heat in 16 and 17, I kept saying this, was they took themselves out of rooms by signing average players to long-term contracts. Okay. At high money, but particularly the years, they basically, you know, eliminated the chance to really sell a player where they didn't have a hand tied behind their back. You know, when they met with Durant, they had a hand tied behind their back. Okay. When they met with LaMarcus Aldridge, they had two hands tied behind their back. Like, you can't be in that position and expect to land stars. You just can't. I mean, you have to be totally free and flexible like they were in 2010. And, you know, where basically they just had Mario Chalmers on the roster and they dumped Michael Beasley a couple of days before so that they would be in position to make the moves that they made. And so I'm not saying Jay Crowder is an average player. He was better than average for the Heat. He was a starter on a finals team. Okay. And he always will be a starter on that Heat finals team, but he is replaceable. He's not special in that regard. And the Heat told everybody, they've signaled it. Like, we will go, we might eat into some of that cap space for somebody special, but somebody special is a top 15 player. It's not Jay Crowder. Okay. Even though you like Jay Crowder. And I think what the Heat have shown over this past couple of days is incredible discipline. Okay. DJJ is a guy, Derek Jones Jr. is a guy that typically, Greg, they probably would have paid to keep. Okay. They made him a player. I mean, when he came here from Phoenix, he was released by a horrible franchise, okay, at the time. And he was released, and he became a core rotation player for them, at least until the bubble. And so, you know, typically a guy that age who had shown some upside, who was a bit of a fan favorite at age, you know, 22, like they would have paid him. They would have paid him. Okay. Jay Crowder, you know, starter on a finals team, a surprise finals team. They would have paid him. I mean, look at the things Pat's done through the years just to show loyalty to players. And I know the Dwayne thing is a weird exception, but everything else. And, you know, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. They held the line. And that to me is the most important thing that came out of the first 2 days, is that they showed the discipline that they were supposed to show. And in this regard, in this business, discipline is more important than loyalty. Okay. Loyalty matters, but discipline matters more, because if you don't have discipline, all the loyalty in the world is not going to get you the kind of players that you really want. And so I'm with what they did with DJJ. I'm with what they did with Jay Crowder. Solomon Hill was kind of an afterthought, but essentially what they've done is they've basically subbed out three roster spots, right? And, you know, with Precious Achiuwa, with Avery Bradley and with Mo Harkless in for Solomon Hill, Jay Crowder, and Derek Jones Jr. Is that an upgrade? Maybe a little bit. Is it a significant upgrade? No, but it doesn't set you back in any way. It doesn't hurt your flexibility. And if you get the improvements that you're expecting from Hero, from Duncan Robinson, from Bam Adebayo, Jimmy keeps his body where we expect him to keep his body, then you're still a contender in the Eastern Conference, and you still have the potential for much, much more. That's what I took out of the past 2 days.
Yeah, no, I couldn't have summed it up any better. It's a situation where Riley said in his press conference, it may be about the next thing. And it was the first time that he ever moved off the main thing is the main thing quote. You know what I mean? And to me, like, that struck me in that he was offering a little bit of perspective on what the overarching, like, goal. When you're sitting up at the top of the mountain, it's a different view than when you're a little bit, you know, further down. And he's kind of looking at it from a broad perspective. And 2021 is the offseason. There's going to be a lot of stuff that changes. It isn't just about Giannis. That's another thing that we should acknowledge, and I'm sure we will going forward, is that this just, it keeps the door open for any opportunistic move to present itself. They have the good mix of young players, tradable contracts, expiring contracts, and flexibility. So ultimately, it's a net positive. You would think that there'll be internal improvement that will help. Maybe if you say the three guys they swapped out in free agency, let's say that they're flat in production. If you get a little bit of internal improvement from your guys, you're ready to go, and you're still a playoff team and you're a contender, but you're ready for 2021. So ultimately, it was a good way for them to handle losing a starter on a finals team, because that's never easy.
All right. When we come back, we're going to do real rapid fire here, because things are changing so quickly. We're just going to give you a couple of quick scenarios that could occur with the trade. Although at the moment, there's nothing imminent. But by the time you listen to this, maybe there will be. Before we do, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, and that's our friend Louis Peters over at State Farm. This is an agency representing the number one auto and home insurer in the United States. More than 60 years of combined experience in the insurance industry. Local agents that understand South Florida's unique market. You can get access 24/7 on the website. That's louispeters.com, L-U-I-S. Peters.com. He's a great, great, great guy. And of course, handles all kinds of insurance. So whether you're talking about life insurance, homeowners insurance, car insurance, you got to give our friend Mr. Peters a call. This is personalized service tailored to each customer. There are no cookie cutter solutions in insurance. So check out louispeters.com or give a call at 305-275-5585. That's 305-275-5585. LewisPeters.com, LUISPeters.com, and he's located at 7750 Southwest 117th Avenue, Suite 207 in Miami. All right, rapid fire here. Let's do this one quickly. Give me one player, and I'll give you one. Give me one player that you think they could flip a couple of players for, because, again, they're at the 15-man maximum right now. They're up against the tax, but there are a couple things I think they could do. Who would they have to give up in your view? And who's the player that they should target?
Yeah. So one thing to acknowledge is they still have about $3.6 million if they want to spend in exception money. So that's one route if they're not going to go from a trade perspective. That's what's still on the table from them from a free agent perspective, which I don't know that they're going to go that way. Trades, if I had to signal one player, I think it's Victor Oladipo. I think that there's still some stuff that's unknown there. And I feel like you could put together, you know, a package that, it may cost you Kelly Olynyk, Kendrick Nunn, and some additional draft, you know, capital down the road, or I don't know exactly how it would play out. Maybe a three-team deal. Oladipo's a guy that I think it fits the mold of not compromising 2021, and you'd have him already in your system for a year. And if he has a great year, you're walking into a free agent meeting with Giannis Antetokounmpo with Oladipo, Jimmy and Bam, which would be really compelling if he were to return to form. So Victor Oladipo is the guy that I am kind of looking at as a viable option.
I think that's a good one. You and I have talked about that on the thread. I think that is a legitimate possibility. Talked to some people up that way today who say that Pacers are claiming they're not going to trade Oladipo. Of course, they were in on Hayward and didn't get him. That's a story for another day. Hayward went to Charlotte at some ridiculous number, but you know, I don't know how that affects Oladipo, but they're saying they're not going to train him. The same time as all the whispers coming out of the Heat is that they're not interested. And yet I still think a deal could be made there. And again, I think it would be Nunn and Olynyk. But the other one to look at is Serge Ibaka's not signed yet. I know that Masai Ujiri is going out to Chicago to visit with Serge. You know, we obviously saw Van Vliet, you know, made the decision, and they made the bank account decision in terms of his future. You would seem to think that there's a good chance that Serge goes back or he goes to Brooklyn, but could you do a sign and trade? You know, you look at Nunn's number, Olynyk's number, you could get a pretty comfortable number there for Serge, at least for 1 year. If he's okay with a 1 year deal, that's a possibility there. And I think if you're looking at need on this team, I think Serge fills a greater need than Oladipo does. Is he a better player at this stage? I don't know. That depends on Vic's health. But he feels a greater need, and he also allows you to develop Precious Achiuwa a little bit more slowly. So I would watch that one. But those are the two that we've talked about the most. Millsap went back to Denver. Boston was in on him. Boston ended up signing Tristan Thompson instead. So I think those are the two guys. If you're looking for one move, it's Nunn, it's Olynyk, and it's one of those two players.
And I'll just sneak this in quickly. I think San Antonio's been really, really like too quiet. DeMar DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, like keep an eye there. Yep. And the other thing is this, and we'll close, or I'll close with this. They have a $7.5 million trade exception. So they could also get a guy using that. So that's another vehicle with which they could acquire a player to fill out the roster.
All right, so those are good ones. I was going to mention San Antonio too. Aldridge, obviously Riley has a fascination with him, and he would also fill a need because he would be an immediate starter. He and Ibaka would be immediate starters next to Bam, okay? And so, you know, that changes the equation, as would Oladipo, by the way, in the backcourt, but I don't think they need it in the backcourt. You look at their roster, they kind of do need a starting four. And so unless it's going to be Harkless or unless you're going to bump Jimmy up, you know, they need a starting four. And so I think that looking at Aldridge, looking at Ibaka, makes a lot of sense. All right, thanks for joining us. Thanks to our sponsors, MyBookie. Use the code 5 on the floor. Our friend Louis Peters over at State Farm, louispeters.com. And, of course, Keystone Chiropractic. Check out chiropractickeystone.com. That is the website for Dr. Jonathan Chung. Thanks for joining us. Of course, we will have more during the week.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Regional Sports Network.